Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
Today, go ahead and congratulate your neighbor. Congratulate your neighbor because we're starting a brand new series today. And it's always better to be here on the day that we begin a series so you don't have to play catch up. And so today we're going to be talking about a series that I've entitled The God of Miracles. I believe wholeheartedly that we need more miracles in our world today. Miracles do a lot of things. It shows us, you know what I mean, that God is present and that he's powerful. It also shows us that that he cares, and it stirs our faith. Like, miracles are amazing. But I also just want to say that there is a danger. There's a danger whenever you begin to elevate the miracle above the man or above God. I'm talking about Jesus, because there are churches, there are people, come on, that start out proper. Man, I just love the Lord. I love all that God is doing. I just want to get to know him more and more and more. And then they're exposed to a couple of miracles, and then all of the sudden, the miracle is elevated, come on, above Jesus. And I'm just saying this, that Jesus is not a one-trick pony, right? And sometimes we go to him to see what it is, come on, that we can receive from him, missing the relationship with him. And somebody just needs to know here this morning that it's all about the relationship. But miracles are wonderful. A miracle is this: when we see God do a work that only God can do. And when God does a work that only God can do, then what happens is it causes us to wonder, it causes us to marvel, and it causes us to be astonished. Man, we are amazed and we are in awe. And so over the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to take a snapshot of some of the miracles that Jesus has done. There's 37 miracles that are in the Gospels themselves, but the Bible also says that there were many, many other miracles that were recorded. This is found in John chapter 20. Come on, there are many other miracles that Jesus had done that were not recorded. And so we know that there's a lot more than 37. Every single place he did, man, he was affecting and changing lives. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at two of them. And once again, the big idea this morning is not to elevate the miracle above Jesus, but the idea this morning is to stir your faith and to remind you that you serve a God that is able. You serve a God that the Bible says that his hand, his arm is not too short to meet every single need, come on, that you have. And so I also want us to realize this, that there are miracles happening all around us all the time. But sometimes we condition ourselves to only recognize the miracles that are unexplainable. You know what I'm saying? Like blind eyes being opened or you know, somebody being raised from the dead. And so, you know, somebody that has cancer that's terminally, you know, only been given, you know, a certain amount of time, and then all of a sudden they get a life extension. Like, I want us to realize that those are absolutely miracles. But I'm telling you what, when God moves, one thing isn't necessarily more powerful or more important than another, because God is always on time and he's always perfect in every single thing that he does, whether it be large in our eyes or small in our eyes. And so the title that I've given today's message is this: when it seems impossible, it's not. When it seems impossible, it's not. My last trip to Africa, I believe it was just this last year. When I go to Africa, I preach a little bit more than what I'm usually ready for. And so I show up and they got me preaching one day, and then they got me preaching the next day, and it's just like you just roll with it type of a deal. But I remember after the service on the first day, I opened up the altar, and there were all kinds of people that had come down for prayer. And next thing you know, it went from the altar literally throughout the entire church tent that this church had purchased, that church that we planted, come on, in Africa. The whole tent, man, people were just praying for. And the pastor of the church comes over to me, and he knows my story that I was delivered. I was set free from alcoholism. And so he comes over to me, Pastor Travis, hey, listen, he takes me, come on, in the kind of in the middle of the area, there's a man that's literally laid out. And this man, you could smell the alcohol, but you could also smell urine. His clothes were soaked in urine. He was filthy, absolutely filthy, hair a mess, hadn't probably taken a bath or cleaned himself in maybe months, but just on a binge, on an alcoholic binge, to the point where, you know, I'm not saying, like, the devil's behind addiction, there's no doubt about it, but I'm telling you what, in this man, there was a strong possession of addiction and alcohol on his life. And if you've been to Africa, you know that everything is loud and exuberant, and everything is just like over the top, right? They're just over the top people. But the Lord spoke to me and told me and impressed on my heart that I needed to get down and almost embrace him at the shoulder on the ground. So I'm kind of laying over him, my body crossing his body, and I'm whispering in his ear a prayer and declaration of freedom. Now, many of these Africans know English. Many of them do not. Many of them, you know, every time we go and preach and teach, there's always an interpreter. But there are many people that understand English very well and speak it better than most of us speak it. And so as I'm declaring these things and praying for these things, my assumption is that this man doesn't know English because he's a mess. And there's no way that he spent the time to, or the education, you know what I mean, to learn a different language, just making these foul, wrong assumptions. And so I go on, and I'm praying for a lot of different people. And the very next day, I get up to preach, and before the message, there's a lot of people coming through. I feel like a politician over there sometimes. I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Well, there's a guy that comes and stands in front of me, and I don't recognize him, but this is the same man that I had prayed for the day before. So 24 hours earlier, I'm praying for him, and he's in this state. The very next day, this guy is clean. He is well dressed. He's looking at me, and he says, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And perfect English. "You don't know who I am. You don't recognize me." I said, "No, I don't." He said, "I'm the one that you prayed for yesterday." And I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you that this is a beautiful picture of the Bible when it says that old things pass away and behold, all things become new. Amen. And he gave me a bracelet. He made a bracelet that night, gave me a bracelet. It was a beaded bracelet, and it had, you know, the continent of Africa on the bracelet. It's one of the most beautiful gifts. But here I am praying faith-filled prayers, but still amazed when God answers those faith-filled prayers. I don't know if you've ever been like that. You got the faith to ask, but then you're astonished whenever he answers. Anybody? You're just, and I love that. Like, I never want to, like, I don't know if I, like, I always want to be like that. And so I want you to know, like, that was a big miracle. But you being here today, it might be just as big a miracle, because maybe people have been asking you, "Hey, I'd really love for you to go to church." Or maybe the Lord's been knocking on your heart's door. "Hey, listen, I've been here your whole life." And you're like, "Ah, bah, humbug. I don't believe that religious nonsense garbage." You know what I mean? Those weak-minded people need a savior. But yet you're here this morning, and that might be a miracle in itself. I want you to know this, that the moment that we talk about miracles, the very moment that we talk about miracles, you're going to find tension rise in the atmosphere. You're going to find tension in the air. And I want to show you this in Mark chapter 9 and verse 22. There was a man that brought his son to Jesus to heal him. This man's son had an impure spirit. That's a fancy way of saying he was possessed by a demon. And he explains that, listen, this demon is continually trying to kill my son. He's throwing him into the fire. In fact, I'll read it to you. Mark 9:22, the spirit often throws him into the fire and into the water to kill him. How many of you know that the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy you? But the man that brought his son said this, and it caught Jesus' attention. He said, but if you can do anything, and it's almost like there's a huge question mark there, please take pity on us. If you can, Jesus said, meaning you're coming to me, you got this faith to come to me, but yet there's still this doubt. If you can, Jesus said, and Jesus responds, everything is possible for the one that believes. For the one who believes. See, we believe in an everything is possible God here at Grace Church. If you're new to the church here, I understand that you may have had different religious upbringing, or maybe you're like my wife and you had no religious upbringing, like whatsoever. And I understand that we all come from different spaces and different places and different backgrounds and experiences. But I want you to know this, that at this church, we believe in an everything is possible God. So how this works is if you have problems in your faith, you got problems in your finances, you got problems, come on, in your relationships, like we want to be there to come alongside of you, to pray with you, to encourage you, to walk with you through some of these difficult times. Because let me tell you, I want you to know real quick, the worst position you can be in when you're going through a troubled time is alone. And guess what? We live in a world where we're surrounded by people, but there's more loneliness in our world today than any other time in my 52 years of living. There's more loneliness, there's more, man, we're surrounded by people, but yet we feel so isolated. And I'm just saying that we need one another. And we, as a church, I'm sure we've gotten it wrong before, and I apologize for that. But I tell you this, that our heart is to get better. Amen? And that should be your heart as well, because it's not Matt's responsibility, it's our responsibility to be there for one another. Amen? Right? It's not Hobby's responsibility. Somebody say, it's my responsibility. Yeah, that's right. We take ownership, and so we need one another, and we need to make sure that we're available for one another. And so, if you need a miracle, let us stand with you. But the tension lies in the last part of the verse. The last part of the verse says, for anyone who believes. And so human nature is hard to continue to believe whenever you've believed, but yet nothing happens. Like, how do I continue to believe? Like, I believed like for a whole day, and then nothing happened. And so man, I stirred myself up in my faith, and I believed for two whole days, but yet nothing happened. But how do I continue to believe? Because if things don't happen like we want or expect them to happen, then guess what? We stop believing in those things. See, what happens in 21 days of prayer, which we do every January and every July, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. What happens if you showed up and you said, man, I've never done 21 days of prayer. Man, I'm believing for my wife to come home. She left me a few months ago. I'm going to 21 days of prayer. I'm believing God's going to restore my family. And man, you even included some fasting in that 21 days. You'd never skipped a meal in 21 years. And you're skipping meals. And you're, some of you are like, amen. But the thing is you showed up 21 days. Every day you showed up, morning and evening, praying and believing, doing everything. God, you said, ask and you will do it. You've been praying for your wife to come home. And now we're moving into May. And guess what? She's still gone. She's still not coming home. Doesn't even look like she's even interested in coming home. And so you're like, you're saying, listen, I'm supposed to keep believing. That's exactly what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying. Because just like I shared in first service, we serve a God that is a first hour God. And I love first hour miracles. It's like, man, when I pray, it's like God moves. But guess what? He's still God that answers in the second hour, the third hour, the fourth hour, the fifth hour, the sixth hour, the seventh hour, the eighth hour, the ninth hour, the tenth hour. And in my case, the 11th hour and the 12th hour is typically where God wants to show himself faithful. Maybe because I'm a little bit slower than the rest of you. But I can't tell you how many times that I have had to contend for things. And it seems like all things are impossible. And then all of a sudden, come on, God shows up and does the miracle. Amen. And I know I'm not alone. Some of you are in that same situation. So it's hard to keep believing. Today, we're going to answer the question, how do we keep believing in between the ask? Like, listen, we have no problem asking God, but how do we keep believing all the way through until we get the answer? Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. Two miracles is what I'm going to share with you. These two miracles happened in the same day. The first miracle is this, and I want you to know that both of these took place in the middle of Jesus' ministry. He was in public ministry for about 3 to 3.5 years. This is probably a year to a year and a half into his public ministry. And he is teaching on a lake, but the lake is called the Sea of Galilee. And the crowd began to grow so large that Jesus was literally being overwhelmed by the crowd. And so somebody say there was a large crowd. There was a multitudes gathering around him. You don't have to say that. That's way too many words. I don't know what I was thinking. Like, listen, we do that with one word situations. Sometimes we have a hard time getting the one word together. So I'm not even going to scratch that. I didn't even ask that. But there was a large crowd. Jesus is being pushed back to the point where he's on the shoreline, there's water right behind him. He steps back into a boat, and he's now preaching from the boat to give himself some space. And guess what? He teaches all day long, from morning probably until later into the day. And the time comes that they've got to bring this thing to a close. Jesus says to his disciples, like, listen, push out. We're going to cross over. Somebody say cross over. To the other side of the lake. We're going to cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so on the way, this is a familiar story, a massive storm, a squall, come on, comes up and it engulfs them. It's not something that they can push back and go back to the shore that they just left. They're out in the middle and this storm literally rises up all around them and it causes traumatic fear in the hearts of those that were with Jesus. But Jesus is in the stern of the boat sleeping on a cushion. At least he had a cushion. Is there any deep sleepers here? Anybody where you, when you go to bed, you know what I'm saying? Like there are those of us that every little thing will just wake you up. But you are the kind of person that, you know what I mean? Like the house could be lifted off of the, or the roof could be lifted off of the house and you're just still going to be, you know what I mean? Just in your sleep, dusting your eyes and you know, trying your best to breathe. I love those YouTube videos. I love YouTube. YouTube is my downfall. But I love those YouTube videos where people are camping and they're on a blow-up mattress. And they've got really, really good friends, and they got these good friends that take them as they're sleeping on their blow-up mattress, and they take them out to the water, and then they just push the blow-up mattress out into the water. And so when the person wakes up, dead sleep in the morning, when they wake up, they're in the middle of a lake, and they're wondering what in the world just happened, you know what I mean? God said he wouldn't flood the earth again. Did he lie to us? You know what I'm saying? I was here. And I love that. I love that. But these people were amazed that Jesus was at peace enough to continue to sleep. The disciples woke Jesus up, yelling at him, "Teacher, Don't you care if we drowned? And Jesus gets up calmly as he always did, and he rebuked the wind. Didn't have to scream and yell at the wind or the waves. He just rebuked it and said, waves, listen, be quiet and be still. Then the wind died down, and he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? And this is what I love about the Bible, because we read things in the Bible that literally captures how we respond to fearful situations today. And the beautiful thing is we can relate to it. We can relate to it, because what we see the disciples doing here is the same thing that we do whenever we don't have the answers. When we've just gotten the phone call and we've been diagnosed with cancer, and they say, listen, you're at stage 3. And you're like, listen, I just did my blood work and my PSA and all that, said I was fine last year, and now I'm at stage 3. And if you're not careful, you can take your eyes off of the Lord and put it on the problem. And guess what? Your problem gets worse. It gets worse. And so the same day, this is the same journey, I want to share with you miracle number 2. So they're going across, they come through the storm, Jesus quiets the storm, they cross over to the other side. This is the land of the Gerasenes. And I want you to realize this, that this is a land that Jews, come on, they're not excited to be there. The disciples, they don't belong there. This is a land of total depravity. Come on, this is a Gentile region. And Mark chapter 5 and verse 1 says this, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus got out of the boat, there was a man with an unclean or an impure spirit. He came from the tombs to meet them. This guy was demon possessed. This man lived in the tombs. He lived among the graves, and no one could bind him anymore. They used to be able to bind him and shackle him and chain him up, but not anymore. He had grown stronger. Not even with a chain, for he had been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. This was a violent, strong, aggressive person. No one was strong enough now to subdue him. Night and day, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. I want you to realize that in life, there are obvious storms that we go through. And the disciples just went through an obvious storm. A squall came up all around them. And obvious storms are terrible. But I want to be compassionate for the people that you've got a storm that is happening continually in your mind. Everything seems fine. You know what I mean? You know how to put on a good face, and you see somebody out in town and, hey, how you doing, man? I'm doing great. But you never have peace in your life because you are in constant turmoil. And I'm telling you this, that there's a lot of people that live in this area, this place. And because of our culture, and we treat people that don't present to have their act together differently than we ought to. What I love about Pastor Nick, man, he goes right to the homeless, man. He goes right to anybody that will listen because of the love that is in his heart. And how many of you know that that's how we need to be? How many of you know that's how we need to be? We're getting more people involved. How many of you know that that's really how we need to be? Like, there's nothing more important than people, regardless of their status or their stature or whatever it is, come on, that they can do for you. And I'm telling you that the Lord is viewing how it is that we treat one another and how we care for one another and the compassion that we have for one another. Man, if I had more time, I would just share. I'm going to take time anyway. This is second service. Jen Gee, where's Jen Gee at? Jen Gee, is she in here? Jen Gee. We did an active shooter. We trained our staff in an active shooter situation. Come on, I'm just telling you, we're ready. And I want you to know that your church cares about these kinds of things. We did an active shooter deal yesterday, but there was a social experiment that was done. And there was a person that, and these were trained actors. There was a person that was acting sick on this video, and they were like in a place, it wasn't Times Square. It was, I think it was over in Europe someplace. But just imagine Times Square. Somebody's just like laying on the ground, just like hurting and in pain, reaching out to people. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me. And this person wasn't dressed real sharp and everything. They weren't dressed terribly, but it was crazy how society, basically our approach is don't get involved, don't get involved. So literally 15 minutes go by, maybe even 30 minutes go by before one person has enough compassion to stop and say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? Can you imagine what is wrong with us? What is wrong with humanity today? Not to be so busy and caught up in our own personal thing that we can't take time to help somebody else out. But guess what? A new actor, or maybe even the same actor, he puts on a three-piece business suit. Within a minute, people are stopping and saying, hey, listen, how are you doing? And I'm just saying that, man, we really have to be driven by the Spirit of God and not driven by the flesh. Even amongst helping people, we got to ask ourselves, why is it that we are going? Are we going for personal gain, or are we going for the people and to glorify God? Okay, I took too much time on that, but I want you to know this, that it goes on to say, when he saw Jesus at a distance, this demoniac, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him, shouting, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I think it's interesting, while everybody else, come on, other Jews, they're trying to figure out who it is that Jesus is, the demoniac knows, the demons in the man know exactly who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is. In fact, in James chapter 2, the Bible says that even the demons know and they tremble at who Jesus is. And so Jesus tells the demons that are in this man, come out, you impure spirit, then asked, what is your name? And the demon talked back and said, we are called Legion. Legion is a Roman term that actually means 6,000. I'm not saying that this man had 6,000 demons in him, but he had a lot of demons and he was overrun, come on, by this demonic possession. And he begged Jesus again and again and again. This demon is begging Jesus not to send them out of the area. And then there was a large herd of pigs that was feeding on a nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs and allow us to go into them. He gave them permission. The impure spirits came out of the man and went into the pig. You know the rest of the story. The herd of pigs was about 2,000, and every single one of them ran off of a cliff into the water, and they all drowned. And so there's a lot just to unpack here. The first thing is like, why the pigs? I'm asking myself, why the pigs? And I don't know, but I do know this, that this is where we get deviled ham from. But I also know this, that even demons can't resist the temptation of bacon. All right. So four truths, real quick. I want to give you four truths. When facing the impossible, what can you do? Number one, make Jesus the object of your faith. When you're in an impossible situation, make sure that Jesus is the focus of your faith. See, in life, you're going into trouble, you're in the middle of trouble, or you're coming out of trouble, getting ready to go into trouble again. It is a cyclical situation. To think that your life is going to be smooth from here on out is crazy. What are you going to do when trouble happens? You're going to make Jesus the object of your faith. See, life is a journey of storms. You come out of one and you get ready to go into another. This is where we get things like when it rains, it pours. Have you ever heard that trouble comes in? Right? It's because we have become accustomed, you know what I mean, to situations stacking on top of situations. And I shared with First Service that I had a friend that went through shoulder surgery. Keep praying for Pastor Javi. He's doing really well in his surgery. But I had a friend that went through shoulder surgery. His shoulder surgery just caused him all kinds of agony and grief. Maybe he started using it too soon, but he went through his therapy. He was about 7 months into it, started feeling just a little bit better, slipped on the ice and went down, and he could have fallen on his head. It would have been better, but he fell on his shoulder that just had shoulder surgery months and months ago. And guess what? Had to do the same thing all the way over again. Now, listen, this is how this works. Let me just get in your kitchen, okay? This is how this works. This guy's a believer. He loves Jesus. He trusts in the Lord. But if you're not careful, you can put expectations on God to where, man, God doesn't love me no more. He's not even paying attention to me no more. Come on, if God was real, then why in the world would he allow me to go through this heck again that I've gone through the last 7 months? And this is how we process things. Listen, church, you have to, as a believer in Jesus, trust in Jesus even whenever Jesus isn't making sense. Right? Jesus, listen, Jesus didn't cause this man to fall again. He didn't cause his shoulder to be injured again. But I guarantee you one thing he will do, he'll use it for the good. He'll teach us some things that we need to learn and to know. I guarantee you, there's probably not very many of you that have gone through some heck in this life. That while you were going through it, you were hating every moment, every day of the trouble that you were going through. But remove yourself from it years. And now you look back on that same thing that you wish you never went through, and you appreciate what it is that you learned going through it. Can God use tough situations, come on, to do a work inside of us? You better believe it. Even situations that you'll come to appreciate. Mark chapter 4:38, the disciples wake him up and said, "Don't you even care if we drowned?" Listen, man, these disciples had seen Jesus. The miracles that he did was out of a heart of love. We just sung about it. He was moved by love. That's why he healed people and set people free. But yet we question, just like the disciples question, come on, did you bring us out in the middle of this place just to drown? No, he cares about you. Mark 4:40 goes on. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Another way to translate this is, where have you misplaced your faith? Where have you placed your faith? It's not where it's supposed to be. And I believe this. I said it first service, that you could be serving God for 20 years and just locked into God, but yet still have the ability to misplace your faith because of life happening. And I'm telling you what the Lord would say to you if you're there right now. Where have you misplaced your faith? Where do you put your faith? Because your faith isn't where it's supposed to be. He still loves you. He still cares about you. He's still showing up and he's doing work whether you see it or not. You're still saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven. Regardless of anything else that happens, God loves you and his eye is upon you. Amen. And so what do? You get a verse to stand on when you're going into a difficult situation. Number two, trust that Jesus loves you more than you can even imagine. This is a beautiful example in my mind about how Jesus leaves the multitudes. He's got this crowd. Like, listen, churches today, what do we want? We want a crowd. Man, let's get a bunch of people gathered together. Jesus has the crowd to the point that he's got to step back into a boat to give himself some space. He's got the crowd. What does he do? He leaves the crowd and he heads towards the one. Listen, he left them, went into the heart of the storm, went through the storm, dealt with some whiny disciples, stepped on a shore that they didn't belong even being in. The disciples were like, "Man, couldn't we gone someplace different?" So that there was one demoniac person that could be delivered. I don't know where you're at, but sometimes we think that I'm just too far gone. There's no, I'm the worst person in this entire room. However many people there are, there's nobody that's done worse things than I've done. Man, if you knew what my thoughts were and how bound I've been in addiction, that nobody, man, there's no way God could set me free. This dude had demons stacked on demons, stacked on demons, and he left the multitudes to go to the one. I'm telling you what, he loves you. Signed, sealed, and delivered. He loves you. He absolutely loves you. See, what happens when we begin to doubt God's love, we doubt his power, his ability to move in our lives. And when we don't have faith, we're probably not going to see all the things that he desires for us to see. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. And I'm telling some of you, you need to let go of control. And you need to cast that anxiety as far away from you as you can possibly cast it. I think of a fisherman. I'm not a fisherman, but I appreciate you that catch fish and feed me your fish that you catch. But to cast something literally means to take that thing on the end of the line and get it as far away from you as possible. And that's exactly what some of you guys need to do, because you've been keeping your anxiety and you've been allowing it to become your identity. And you're just like, this is mine. I really don't like it. I hate it. But I'm telling you, what you need to do is you need to cast it. Come on, cast it. Why? Because he cares for you. Number three is this: Jesus' power was proven on the cross. And I'm telling you what, if he did it then, if he did it to the demoniac, he'll do it again. If he did it on the cross, he'll do it again. If he's able, come on, to do these incredible miracles, then he's able to do a miracle in your life. See, this demoniac was shackled physically at times, but he kept breaking the chains. But I promise you this, he was shackled mentally and emotionally, and he was absolutely shackled spiritually. And I'm just saying that in a few words and about 2,000 pigs, Jesus set this man free. With a few words spoken, and 2,000 hogs, he set this man free. And I'm just speaking life to you today. Maybe you've come here bound, shackled, you know, you've got your limitations, but I'm just saying, let the Spirit of God do the work this morning. Have faith enough and say, Lord, if what he's saying is true, here I am, set me free, because I'm tired of being bound and chained. Mark chapter 5:15, they came to Jesus and they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons, and he was sitting there and he was dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I want you to realize this, and please don't overlook it. This man was as lost could be, but yet he was at the feet of Jesus, which shows us intimacy. He was receiving, he was learning. And I'm just saying that I you know, maybe you've got an experience like this. This really resonates with me, because as most of you have heard 100 times over, I got picked up on a DUI. Absolutely shouldn't have been driving, couldn't hardly walk, and I was in jail. And this is where I had to my come to Jesus moment. I said, Lord, if you can have my life, or you can use my life, you can have it, because I'm done with it. And immediately I went from being out of my mind into my right mind. And so I believe that every single word that is spoken here, he was out of his mind. He was demonically possessed and oppressed in every other kind of press that you could be in. And next thing you know, man, he was different. And he was a man of control, and he was paying attention, and he was in close proximity, come on, to Jesus, which shows us intimacy. So how can Jesus do that? How can he do that? He can do that because he went to the cross and he took on every single kind of wound that you and I can experience. He was isolated on the cross. Nobody was able to hang there with him. Come on, he was left alone. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was cut. He was spit on. There was a crown of thorns that was on his head. He experienced everything that could have been experienced. Why? So that he could come and set us free from those things. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, the very punishment that he took brings us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. So he paid the price so that you could live a life that is full, complete, and healed. He paid for the ability to heal you. He took your place. He took my place. Number four, and this is the last one, Jesus gives purpose to everything. I want you just to hear that just real quick. There's nothing that happens that Jesus doesn't give purpose to. Once again, some of the worst things that a person can go through, I believe that there's purpose to be found. Mark chapter 5 and verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man, so he's getting ready to go back over. He just set this guy free from his demons. He's getting ready to cross back over. And the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Wouldn't you want to go with Jesus too? It's like, listen, man, I don't care. And in fact, all these people have mistreated me. The last place I want to be is with these folks. I'm going with you. You're the nicest person. Come on, you. I just love you, Jesus. Wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do. And Jesus says, no, 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 you're not going with me. What? You're not going with. This is interesting. Jesus didn't let him, but he said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how God had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis. The Decapolis is literally 10 cities around this region that were in the same kind of depravity that the Gerasenes was. So tell all those other areas how much Jesus has done for you. And he told him, and all of the people were amazed. What I want you just to listen to is this. Like, in 24 hours, this man was bound. He went from starting his day demonically possessed, bound and shackled, out of his mind, to being the first Christian missionary that was sent out, come on, to his people. Is that amazing? In 24 hours. Like, listen, this guy, he didn't have to go to Bible school. He wasn't made to sit on a church chair or a pew, you know what I mean, for a couple of years. Like, listen, you just need to sit, brother. You know what I'm saying? You're a good drummer, but we're going to let you just sit and marinate in the house for about 12 months. And then we're going to watch you and just make sure that, and then we might let you into the fishbowl. You ever feel like a fish in there? Just a little bit like a fish? Yeah, it is bulletproof. It's the safest place you can be. No. So listen, guys, just like Nick was saying, every single one of us has been given gifts and talents. He's given you a measure of faith. And the idea is this, that Jesus is coming back, whether it be in our life or not. The idea is this, that your life counting to reach another life. And some of you are going to reach thousands of people if you'll just get up every morning and say yes to the Lord, regardless of what the circumstances look like, regardless of what trouble you're going through. Come on, if you can keep Jesus as the object of your faith and understand that he loves you more than you'll ever be able to know. Like, you're going to know one day the extent of his love. But I want you to know this, that you are here for such a time as this. Turn to your neighbor just real quick and say, it's time to get busy. It's time to get busy. It's time to get busy. Now listen, the best miracle that can happen is for one person to say yes to Jesus. The Bible says that when somebody receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that all heaven rejoices. You know, when one person says yes to Jesus, there's a party in heaven. I believe that the Bible is true, that there are people, come on, just watching and waiting to see how we respond to the gospel. The gospel's been preached. We know that God loves you. He's got a plan for your life, but it has everything to do with you saying yes to him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? Something's moved on my heart and I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm in Christ or not. Like, there's a lot of people that believe in a God, but they're not saved. I want to be clear with that. There's a lot of people that believe in a God, but are not saved. And if you want to receive him this morning, let me tell you how easy it is. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And that's a beginning. It's not the end to all. Then we grow in him and we work out our salvation and we grow in him and we learn to trust him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a continual calling and a continual drawing and a continual growth. But I'm telling you that whenever you say yes to the Lord, you can't add to the work that's been done on the cross. Your name is written in what's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And that Lamb's Book of Life is going to be read, and there's going to be a separation of people that are in it and people that aren't in it. And if you don't know if you're in it and you want to receive Jesus right now as your Lord and personal Savior, I would love to pray for you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? You'd like to receive Jesus this morning as your Lord and Savior. Somebody over here? Right here, I see you. Anybody else? Up top? Right here, I see you. Perfect. I love that. So good. Anybody up top? Online? All right. We're also going to pray for those that just want to just recommit their life this morning. Amen. This is important because the world can get crazy, and sometimes we can just elevate things above the Lord. Is there anybody that just wants to put God first in your life this morning? I want to pray for you as well, all over the place. Man, God bless you guys. Thank you. So listen, let's stand to our feet and let's pray. We're going to close down the service here today. Do you guys receive the word today? You receive it? Let me ask you just a quick question. How many of you want to see more miracles? How many of you are going to make a decision not to elevate the miracle above Jesus? Right? All right. Lord, I thank you for today. And I thank you, Lord, for these that have said yes to you. Once again, your word says, believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. I believe that the only thing that brings us to this place is the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, no man can call Jesus Christ Lord but by the Spirit of God. So I thank you, Lord, and we say yes to you today. Please come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and be the Lord of my life. Not just the Savior, but the Lord of my life. Lead me, guide me, direct me. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. Fill me, Lord. I pray that you fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Lead my steps. Speak to my mind. Use my body to glorify your name. I also pray, Lord, for those that are here today and they're just like, you know what I'm saying? I've just, life is convoluted and I keep taking my eyes off the prize. I keep taking my eyes off of Jesus. And Lord, right now we just ask that you would forgive us for that. We repent. We ask for forgiveness. And we make a declaration today that I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I will put God first, the things of God first. And Lord, I just pray that you set the things that are out of order in order in my life. And once again, Lord, we pray for the miracles, Lord, as well. I pray that that big or small, it does not matter. When you're behind it, I pray that we would see it and our faith would be encouraged and stirred by it. I thank you, Lord, that you are a powerful God. You are a powerful God and you are able. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, We'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.